Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. Hey, what a joy it is today to gather. I love our church family. Really beautiful. Friday, we came and we stood at the foot of the cross. We reflected on what he's done. We saw that everything was intentional and according to the Father's perfect timing, that Jesus was in control right up until the end. If you weren't here, go listen to the podcast, because it just highlighted that it wasn't actually chaos. To us, it would have seemed chaos, but it wasn't actually chaos. It was controlled. He was aware of everything on that cross. We saw it was intentional. We saw that it was according to the Father's will. So I'm trusting that from Friday, there's been a deeper revelation. You know, we've been on a journey from last Sunday, which was Palm Sunday, to Friday, which was known as Good Friday, but which was where he was crucified, to today, which is where he was resurrected. It was such a significant. Pauline and I went home, and we sort of said that it was one of the most significant Good Friday services that we've been part of, and we've been in church for quite a while. It was really, really powerful. And everybody contributed. Everybody. The whole creative team. Everything was just beautiful. But yesterday I was upstairs busy pondering on Friday and pondering about the whole Easter story. Because what I've been doing is I've been reading through the Easter story. And I recommend you do that over before Easter, during Lent. Read through the Easter story. Read the whole thing, that it comes alive in you. And Christmas time as well. What, you know, what happened at Christmas. But I was reading through it. I've been reading over through it for a couple of weeks now in preparation. And I felt that I wanted to place myself in the picture. I wondered what it would feel like to be there. And so I laid on the carpet and I put a pillow under my head in case I decided to snore. But I didn't, because it was really impacting. So I've written it down, and I want to share it with you. But I want you to not hear me as this is a story. I want you to be on the journey with me. I want you to put yourself in there as well. Right, so when I talk about I want you to think of you as the I. So I realized that I was lying there and I immersed myself in the story, that I was part of the inner circle. I was part of his inner circle. I'd personally heard Jesus speak. I'd heard his voice. I'd personally seen the miracles happen right in front of my eyes. On the quiet, I too had hoped that he would be the king. He would be that one. He would be the king that would basically come and save us from the oppression, that he would be the one that would bring change. I quietly hoped that. And then all of a sudden, everything happened so fast before I realized that there he was. He was hanging from the cross. And I remember the chaos in that moment, the sad, the wailing that was happening. The wind was blowing. It was dusty, and you had the Roman soldiers to the side. But I remember every now and again I was glancing up at Jesus with this hope. There was a hope that he would do something. He would even remove himself from the cross so that he could prove to everyone that was there that he is God. But it didn't happen. And because of that, I started second guessing everything. Started second guessing what I'd heard as I walked with him, what I'd seen as I walked in, what I felt as I journeyed with him, because I really had hope. I had hope on the inside of me. And it moved on, and he died, and there was wind, and there was lightning, and there was all these things happening, and then we had this task of taking him down from the cross. The emotions, as you can imagine, were raw. I was sad, but also there seemed to be a little bit of a disappointment, or I don't know, what was it? Maybe it was anger, because he'd actually let us down. He didn't do what we were expecting. But as we brought him down, his his mother Mary went up to him and she cradled him, and there was no words to describe her pain as a mother, her tears falling upon his face as she gently stroked it, mixing with the dirt and the blood that covered it. We left Mary for a while and she could have a moment with him, her son. And then we took him and we wrapped him in some linen cloths, and we transferred him to the tomb, which wasn't very far. And then came the moment of sealing the tomb. Us blokes, we got behind this massive, heavy stone, and we were grunting and pushing, but this thing did not want to budge. And we had to gather more people because this thing was heavy. It was about 20 of us. But at one stage, because it was a bit of a slant and it was in this groove, it started to move and it started to roll. And as it rolled and as we were pushing this, I actually heard the grumbling and the crunching as it moved, and I felt the rumble underfoot as this heavy stone started to roll across the entrance of the tomb. They estimate that stone weighed between 3,000 and 4,000 pounds, which is about 1.5 to 2 tons. I knew that once it was in place and covered, there would be no way rolling it back. But just before it covered the entrance, just before everything was gone, I glanced one more time, hoping I would see a movement under those cloths, hoping that there would be a movement. His feet would move, or his hands would move, or his head. I was ready to shout, "Stop! Stop!" You see, I even had hope to that moment that he would do something, but there was nothing. So as that rock fell into place, finality struck home, and there was a sinking feeling, this unbelief, I don't know how long I stood there, but I was just staring, because I realized that not only was my Savior, but also my hope had just been laid to rest in that space, locked away forever. 2-ton stone against the only entrance there was. But this morning, Sunday morning, I get the news the tomb is empty. So I start running, and as fast as what my legs can carry me, and this 3/4 mile. Didn't seem like 3/4 miles, it seemed like 50 miles. I'm nervous and I'm concerned, and I get there to see that this stone, this massive stone that took 20 men to close, was rolled away, and I hesitated for a moment in disbelief. I was nervous. How could this be? But before I could find myself, I'm at the entrance of the tomb. He's not there. It's empty. His body is gone. I knew he was there because I glanced in, but now he's not there anymore. Is this possible? Could it be? Maybe it could. But how? But there are the cloths. The cloths are still there. Maybe it was grave robbers, but surely they would have taken the cloths with him, because they would have sold them, those rotten. All of a sudden, I realized something inside me, that hope that I had also buried in the tomb 3 days earlier, yes, it starts to flutter, and as it goes on, it grows and it grows, and with it there's more excitement, and I find myself pacing up and down. I found myself giggling nervously and muttering to myself, and slowly but surely it starts sinking in. Slowly but surely the dots start to come together. Wow. He is the Savior. He said that 3 days and he would rise again. He is actually the King. He has risen. He is the hope of the world. Folks, I come to you today, and I come to you with good news. The tomb is empty, and hope has been released. Amen? I think that's something that we can celebrate this morning. That is something that we can come to and have that realization. The tomb is empty. And this hope that we're talking about is not something we wish for. No, no, no. It is, this hope has a name. And his name is? His name is? That's right. His name is Jesus. Reality is we are living right now in these uncertain times, as did the disciples in that time. There was a moment of uncertainty, and today we can say that we are living in uncertain times. I mean, you don't have to convince me. You just got to put the news on. There's an instability everywhere, economically, globally, even personally. People across the globe are asking deep questions. What can I trust? Fathers of a house are going, how am I going to provide for my family? Mums are asking those questions. How am I going to support and put my kids through school when fuel is so expensive and food is getting so expensive? And everybody's asking the question, what is really secure? What can I put my hope into? Today I want you to know this. Into this kind of world comes this announcement of Easter. He is not there. He is risen. He is not there. He is risen. And that right there changes everything for us, folks. That right there, it changes it. It's not an empty tomb. It's not just an empty tomb. We can look at it and think, oh, yeah, it's just an empty. No. This empty tomb signifies a number of amazing things. First of all, it's God's declaration. In Luke 24, it says, the angel said to the woman, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. In other words, why are you looking for a living person in the cemetery? You see, he's not here, but has risen. It's not just a miracle. It's a verdict. It's a verdict. It's God declaring the payment has been received. Jesus said on the Friday, it is finished. The resurrection is God's kiss to all mankind saying, yes, it is. It is finished. You see, the resurrection can be seen as the receipt from the cross. He is not here, but has risen. It's the declaration that Jesus is who he said he is. You see, at Palm Sunday, they said, oh, Jesus, this is who he is, the prophet from Galilee. But you know what? He is the true king. He entered on the colt of a donkey. He is the Son of God, the ultimate sacrifice. He is the Lord over life and death. Do you realize that you cannot walk out of a grave unless you have authority over it? He walked out of that grave. He has authority. He is not here but has risen. Is the angel saying this in simple language? Death has lost. Hold on, JJ. People still die, right? So what death are we talking about? Good question. You see, the Bible speaks about death as more than just the moment your heart stops. It speaks about death as the consequence of sin, which is the separation from God. But because of Jesus, I come today to tell you, because of Jesus, the penalty of sin has been paid. Through the resurrection, and the death has lost its power. Death has lost its power. Because of Jesus, death can no longer separate you from God. No longer. Another very important point about the empty tomb is this. The empty tomb released a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Everybody say new birth. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has given us a new hope. That is it again, exactly what I was talking about earlier. From spiritual death to spiritual life. From separation from God to relationship with God. A new birth. Into what? Into a living hope. Now, this hope that we're talking about, I touched on a little bit earlier, it's not optimism. It's not wishful thinking. It's not I hope this works out. No. It's not that kind of hope. This hope that we're talking about is a confident expectation rooted in God's promises. 7,000 of them in here. Over 7,000 for you and I. Hope, the hope we're talking about, is a confident expectation rooted in all of these promises. We're not just talking about hope. There's another word in front of that word, and it's called living hope. This reveals to us that our hope is not based on thoughts or ideas. This hope is based on a living person who has resurrected from the dead, and his name is Jesus. Since Jesus rose from the dead, our hope, your hope, my hope, is active as a believer. It's present, and it is ongoing. You see, a dead Savior equals a dead hope. A risen Savior equals living hope. Our hope is in Jesus. One God. Jesus. Not seven gods like other religions. Not 33 gods. Not 104 gods. No. One God. Our hope is in Him, and His name is Jesus. And the evidence is that He is not dead, but very much alive. Why? Because there is an empty tomb. There's an empty tomb. What makes the believer's hope different from general hope? General hope is more wishful thinking. The believer's hope is that it is anchored in an event, not a feeling. As believers, your hope is based on not how you feel today. As believers, your hope is not based on how you feel tomorrow or when you wake up or don't move in a good mood. Your hope is based on something that actually happened. There was a real crucifixion. There was a real tomb. There was a real body. There was a real 2-ton stone rolled in front of it, sealed by the Romans, that today is really empty. You see, Christianity is not about emotional experience. Christianity is not built on emotional experience. Christianity is built on historical resurrection. Historical resurrection. The believer's hope is a living hope. This hope is alive because Jesus is alive. This hope is a living hope because He, Jesus, has already passed through death. He's passed through burial, and He has come out the other side. There's nothing left that can destroy this hope. He has conquered it all. Church, this is not just wishful thinking. This is resurrection reality. He walked out of the grave. Therefore, our hope, your hope, my hope, is unbreakable. Your hope, my hope, is unsinkable. Your hope, my hope, is never ending. Never ending. No matter what is happening in the world, it's never ending. So today, right here, right now, I want you to hear this. The empty tomb speaks into every uncertain time. Not only now, but also in the future. Not only today, not only next month, not only in 2026, but in 2028, 2030, 2032, when our kids are leading this place. That hope speaks into that future as well. Because he is risen, your future, my future is secure. This resurrection is not about Jesus' future. It's about yours. It's about mine. We're not talking about the natural. Because in the natural, it may not seem that way. We're talking about the supernatural. Eternity is real. And because He lives, your story does not end in the grave. Because He has risen, your present has meaning. What do you mean by that, JJ? Where you are now, you're meant to be. It's not coincidental. I'm not only talking about here. I'm talking about where you live. I'm talking about where you work. I'm talking about where you go to uni. I'm talking everywhere where you are. Your present has meaning. Even when life feels confusing, even when life seems uncertain, even when life is painful, the resurrection tells us that Jesus is not behind a 2-ton rock anymore. He is alive. He is whole. He is willing. And he is still at work. He's not sitting back. No. He is still at work. Scripture says to us that he is building the church. Not Pastor Russ and myself and Paulina and Pastor Kat. No, we don't build the church. He is building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Scripture tells us he's interceding for believers. Any believers in this room? 3 of you. All right, there's more. Good, because you need to hear this. He is interceding for you. He acts as a mediator. This is the one who was on the cross. This is the one that walked out of the tomb. He is busy at this point in time interceding for all believers across the globe. He is praying for believers to strengthen their faith and keep them near to him. Scripture tells us he is reigning and ruling. He is seated currently at the right hand of the Father, reigning as Lord and King over the universe. Scripture tells us he's equipping the followers through the Holy Spirit. He prepares the church, that is us, not this building, for work of ministry, empowering believers with spiritual gifts. And then we've just done a whole series on people of purpose. Scripture tells us that he works through people. Those of you who rose their hands, he works through you. He works through believers to share the gospel, to show compassion to the outcasts, to bring light into the world. Didn't share this in the first service, but I feel I need to share it here. Belinda and Abdelmalek, who does community services, and her team were at EDSE. You'll hear more about it later. And they put on a morning tea with a peace garden. And they had to write the teachers. This school is not a Christian school. A couple of years ago, we weren't allowed to put our foot in there. We could use their hall and pay a fee, but that was all. But slowly, the doors have opened, and we have a morning program and a lunch program, and they want another morning program and another lunch program, and we have morning teas for the staff. And Belinda phones me on Thursday, and she was telling me how it went. And she says this to me. She goes, as the teachers are walking, they go, oh, is it the church morning tea this morning? That's a good indication. And the principal gets up there, won't mention names, and she goes, when I put on the morning tea, you don't all come to my morning tea. But you hear when the church puts it on. The doors have opened. God works through people. He works through us all. I want to say this to you. If God can bring life out of a tomb, he can bring peace and purpose into your world. He can bring peace and purpose into your circumstance. He can bring peace and purpose into your work. He can bring peace and purpose into your uni. Nothing is wasted in his hands. Nothing. Romans 8:28 says, he weaves everything into his perfect plan for your life. Because he is risen, your current situation is not final. That's a word for somebody. You think, oh my gosh, this is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I've got a word for you. Think about the tomb. The stone was in place. The body was inside. The guards were posted. Everything about that moment said, this is over. But heaven said, not yet. Not yet. Because if it was, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here today. The tomb wasn't the end for Jesus. So this is not the end for you. 2026 is not the end for you. 27, 28. You know when I say this, I said this many times. God is not finished with you until your breath leaves your body. Then he's finished with you. If you're 99 years old and you're still breathing, God is not finished with you. If you're 3 days old, God has only started with you. And some of you who only joined the family now, and you might like, I'm 76. You know what? He's starting with you. Nothing is a surprise for him. But he uses people. So finally, I want to say this. Because of the tomb, we live from hope, not for hope. You see, most of the world is trying to find hope in something or in someone. People are searching everywhere for something stable. People are searching for something secure, something that will hold. But as believers, we do not live for hope. We live from hope. The tomb is empty. And there's one thing you remember when you walk out of this is that the tomb is empty. Hope is released. And right there, that, just that one fact, if you just grasp that one thing, that redefines how we live. You see, we don't live from fear. We live from the victory of the cross, the victory of the tomb. We live from victory. We don't live from uncertainty. We live from assurance. Assurance of what? He is risen. And I have a purpose for my life. We have an empty cross, folks. An empty cross. We have an empty tomb. We're not reaching. We're not reacting to the world around us. No. Because of this, because of the empty cross and the empty tomb, we are rooted in what Christ has already accomplished. He's not going to accomplish it. He's already accomplished it. So coming back to immersing myself into that story as I'm laying there on the carpet and upstairs, and head on the pillow, not snoring. I'm actually engulfed in this whole, because I picture myself. I love to picture scripture. I encourage the YAs to think yourself into scripture. And God highlights this to me, another thought. The woman came to the tomb early Sunday morning, carrying what? Spices. Why? Because they were on their way to embalm the body or to anoint the body of Jesus. I mean, get the picture, folks. They've just gone through a horrendous Friday. Their hearts are heavy with trauma of the death and the burial and what they actually witnessed. They, in this moment, are surrounded by so much uncertainty, so much grief. They're heavy with grief. They're heavy with pain. They're heavy with loss. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's a 2-ton stone across the entrance of the tomb. Has it ever crossed your mind as you've read that or heard the story? How were they, these women, going to get into the tomb? It hit me. They're on their way. They're on their way to go and embalm him, to go and anoint his body. What were they thinking? Took 20 people. By the way, Googled it, plus minus 20 people to roll that stone. That's what they estimate, 20, 25. Two ladies. So I pondered and I asked God, okay, God, what is it? Is there something else that we need to see this? And this came to mind. I believe that this was a whisper from Holy Spirit, and that was that, JoJo, they were still living in Friday, but heaven had already moved to Sunday. They were still living in Friday. As I pondered on this, it came home, it hit home, and this question comes to mind, which I want to share with you, is how many people today are still carrying what belongs to yesterday? How many people today are still carrying what happened yestermonth or yesteryear or yesterdecade or yestergeneration? Folks, I come today to say to you, the message is the tomb is empty. He is not here, but he has risen. Hope has been released. Heaven is on the move. Heaven is on the move. The kingdom is expanding as we speak. Right across this globe, believers, people who just feel they need to find hope, are flocking to gatherings. They flock into cathedrals. They flock into buildings. They flock. I mean, it was on the news on Friday how the churches were overflowing. The gatherings were overflowing. And they had different. They had your Pentecostal planet shakers all the way through to cathedrals, to small churches. They had a very. And I said to Pauline, I said, look at this. people know where to come because they know where true hope is. May we get that revelation today. So as I close, and if the team can join me, don't be distracted by the team joining us, because this word I want to share is really, really important, because this summarizes the three events, if I may call it that. You had Palm Sunday, last week's Sunday. You had the crucifixion 2 days ago on Friday. And you had the resurrection, or the empty tomb, today. You see, Palm Sunday proves his obedience. He fulfilled scripture. He rode not on a donkey, but on the colt of a donkey. The cross, as I said on Friday, was all about his faithfulness to the detail. He wanted to fulfill what God and what the Father had put in place. So much so that he didn't breathe out his life, he didn't bow his head and breathe out, release his spirit until he had fulfilled scripture and tasted the sour wine. The empty tomb proves his power. You cannot walk out of a grave unless you have authority over the grave. We're talking power. And that power that we're talking there is the same power that lives in you and me as a believer, and that is, his name is Holy Spirit. Together, Palm Sunday and the cross and the empty tomb don't just tell a story. Please, this is not a story. This is not a tragic story. The three together, the Palm Sunday, cross, and the empty tomb, they release a living hope into a world that feels chaotic and uncertain. Because of what Jesus has done, sin is forgiven. Because what Jesus has done, death is defeated. Because what Jesus has done, and this is the word for you and I, hope is alive. Hope is living. It is secure, and it has your name on. You may be here today and you go, well, I've just walked into the church. Has it got my name on? Yes, it has. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That world entails every person who is a human being, engulfs anybody. Even that who may in our eyes be the furthest from God, worshiping an idol somewhere, God loves them as well. So when everything around you feels unstable, when life doesn't go the way you planned, when you don't know what tomorrow holds, please don't anchor your life in what is shifting constantly. No. Anchor your life in what has already been overcome. Jesus didn't just enter Jerusalem. He didn't just go to the cross. He didn't just rise again. He secured a future that cannot perish, a future that cannot spoil, a future that cannot be stolen, a future that cannot fade. That means because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Because he lives, you can face Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Because he lives, you can face next month and next year and John 10:10 says that Jesus came to give us a life and that in abundance. That's the life he has for you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Only. No. That is just to make us aware that this distraction that we're experiencing at the moment of the chaos, that belongs to Satan, the thief. Normally we focus on that, but today I'm saying focus on the life and that in abundance, which includes the resurrected hope as a foundation. As a foundation. Because he lives, we do not have a spirit of fear, because he has sent a different spirit. His name is Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. Holy Spirit is a spirit of soundness of mind. And the Holy Spirit is your helper. He is your comforter. He is your guide. He is the one that is constantly with you. I've asked the team to sing a song over us, but before they do that, I just want to give you context of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. The earth God had created. It was hovering over the waters, the scriptures say. Sorry, not the earth. Over the waters. Waiting for the word to come from Father. That word was, let there be light. And there was light. Holy Spirit is part of the creation. Holy Spirit is the one that walks with you and I today. He's the one that is constantly with us. Yes, Jesus was on the cross. Yes, he was in the tomb. Yes, he rose again. And yes, he's at the right-hand side of the Father, busy preparing a place for you and I. But he said before he went, I send another. That word another means just like, same as. And his name is Holy Spirit. Folks, because he lives, we can face whatever comes our way.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.